Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That music just gets you pumped up. Time to make our picks. Let's start off with some Thursday night football. Ed, Seattle at Arizona. Who you like?
Cardinals.
I'm going with the Cardinals, too.
Are you?
Yeah. Jeremy?
You're dead wrong. I'm taking Seattle.
Okay. All right. Well, Jeremy, while we're over there, Minnesota at Pittsburgh.
Now, this is the Dublin game. Is overseas.
Yes. Right. Yes. So, 9:30 a.m.
So it's not
at Pittsburgh, but
that's why. That's why I'm just so everybody knows right. that it's not that's a true. Home game for the Steelers per se. I like Minnesota here. I think there's out of these four groups, offense, defense for both sides. I think one group is for real, and that's Minnesota's defense. The rest of them are all
their defense is good.
Yep.
Yeah. I agree with you, but I think Pittsburgh gets the win here. Close game. I'm going Pittsburgh. Ed.
I'm going Pittsburgh as well. I agree about Minnesota's defense, but I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. Although everyone on the Minnesota side of the field seems to be Irish, so maybe they have some Dublin advantage.
Ooh, all right. Well, how about Washington at Atlanta?
Commanders. I haven't believed in Atlanta all year. I heard they were going to be the hot team this year. I ain't buying it after last week.
I'm going with Atlanta because I don't know who's playing for Washington. It looks like Scary Terry. He missed practice. I don't know what the quarterback situation. I got to go with Atlanta coming off of that shellacking on top of that.
I don't think this is I think Atlanta wins this game, and I think they win rather handily here. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if it was Jaden Daniels, if it was Terry McLaurin playing in the game. Atlanta, to me, is better than they showed this past week, and they got flat-out embarrassed by one of the worst teams in football. Mm-hmm. If you don't expect them to come back out at home and play their asses off and have a good game, I think they come out, and this is one of those spots that we circle where it's like, man, they sucked last week. They're not a good team, but it's a week-to-week league. I like Atlanta here.
All right. What about New Orleans at Buffalo, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm calling upset. If you pick New Orleans, you're going to be upset. Take Buffalo and keep this thing moving.
I'm going with Buffalo big. Ed.
Buffalo.
All right. Cleveland at Detroit, Ed.
Detroit. I mean, I know this is good. Cleveland wins games they shouldn't. And this is one they shouldn't, but this is not the week. I'm going with the Lions.
I'm going with the Lions as well, coming off that win against the Ravens, Jeremy.
Roar. Give me the Lions.
Tennessee, Jeremy, at Houston.
Man. Are both of these teams 0-3?
Yes.
And the Texans are favored by a touchdown?
Yes.
Give me Houston.
I'm going Houston, too. Tennessee will be 0-4 after this one. Ed?
Yep, I'm going with the Oilers.
No.
Sorry.
No, who?
I'm taking Houston.
Carolina at New
Wishful
England.
Thinking.
Ed, Carolina at New England.
Patriots.
You want Patriots?
Even after what Carolina did last week, I just don't buy them as a really good team. I'm going with Patriots.
I don't think they're that team that beat up on Atlanta, but I think they're better than the Patriots. I don't believe in the Patriots. I think Mike Vrabel gets a little overrated there. I'm going Carolina on the road, Jeremy.
Yeah, I'm going with New England. 5.5-point favorites in this game, kind of surprising to me. I think Carolina keeps it close, but I think New England wins one at home.
Chargers at Giants.
I think this is a close game, but ultimately I'm going to go with the better team, which is the Chargers.
I completely disagree with you.
By the way, that it's going to be a close game?
Yeah, I'm going Chargers.
By the way, the Jets and the Giants are 0-3, and somebody wrote on Twitter, said, oh my God, this is terrible. The Jets and Giants are 0-3. Football teams in New York. And somebody said, there's only one football team in New York. It's right. Buffalo, and they're undefeated.
That's right, there is.
And Chargers at Giants.
Chargers.
All right. This is an interesting one.
Go to Ed
Philadelphia
first.
At Tampa. Is him anyway.
Go to Ed first.
Philadelphia at Tampa, Ed.
I'm going with the Buccaneers. Because it's, first of all, I think the Bucks are good. I think the Eagles are having a little hangover or something. They just haven't looked great. But you got to remember, the Bucks have eliminated Eagles to the playoffs in 21 and 23. They seem to have the Eagles' number in the last couple of years. I know there's always new personnel, but not that much has turned over. So I'm going with the Buccaneers at home.
Yeah, I'm going with Philly. I think Philly rights the ship. I think Philly is a very good football team. Maybe some Super Bowl hangover because they won it, but it's a wake-up call. Now they face a team that they got to really pay attention to. I think they beat the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Give me the Bucks. I'm with Ed. I think this is one of those spots. I keep saying it. I keep going against the Eagles, and they keep burning me. Except, I mean, I had the Chiefs in week two, and then you look at that game, and you're going, how did they win? I had last week the Rams, and look at what happened there. Winning in the second half by double digits, get a blocked field goal to end up losing the game and not cover the spread. I feel kind of the same way here when I look at this Eagles team. There's something off. I'm waiting for someone to actually do something, and then they're going to have to worry about correcting it because it feels like something's off in that secondary. So give me the Tampa Bay Bucks to pull off an upset.
Indy at the Rams.
I got the Rams.
Got the Rams. I got the Rams in this one too, Ed.
I got the Colts. Okay. I really do like that team. Like the running game. It's going to be close, but I'm going to go with the Colts.
Jacksonville at San Fran, Ed.
San Francisco. Quarterback at Jacksonville is still, I don't know who he is. I can't ever tell. I mean, I've been with them all, you know, most of the season.
I think he uses Vidal Sassoon. If he doesn't look good, you don't look good.
You're right. I think he does, too. I'm going with the 49ers. I just think they're a better football team.
I'm going 49ers, too, regardless of who's playing quarterback. Jeremy.
Yeah, since I don't get to do my picks for tomorrow, I'm going 49ers. I think this is a very high-scoring game. By the way, the total's 47, which is one of the highest totals this weekend.
All right.
Unexpectedly, right? Yeah.
Bears at Vegas, Jeremy.
Give me the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm going Raiders, too. I think the Raiders win, and they win convincingly.
1-point spread.
I think they win convincingly.
Really? Yep.
Yeah, I'm going Raiders as well.
Raiders?
Yep.
All right. Ed, give me Green Bay at Dallas.
Packers. I think on the road, I don't care. I just think they're better than the Cowboys, and I think they're going to have a good game. It's a primetime game. Green Bay's going to win this one.
Rashawn, text me. I know you all going to pick Green Bay in this one, but Cleveland laid the blueprint on how to beat Green Bay, and I said, yeah, with defense, something Dallas doesn't have, so I'm going Green Bay.
Yeah, you got rid of your best pass rusher, your best player, basically.
Yeah, you're going to have to start calling them the Alice Cowboys. Ain't no D in Dallas. Are you kidding me?
No.
Get the hell out of here. But look, this is one of those spots where I think this team circles this game, and they come out, and they play really hard, and they still lose. But I do think there's a really good chance the Cowboys cover this spread at like 6.5 at home. Dak, look, we can say what we want about Dak, and maybe he's not in that upper tier group. He's still a really good quarterback.
Good quarterback, yeah.
I mean, the year that Lamar won the MVP, there were people pushing for him because he had incredible numbers that year. But, so I'm taking the Packers.
Okay, we got to get through. Let's go with the Ravens prediction. Jeremy, what you got?
I got the Chiefs. I'm going to say it's going to be rather high scoring. I'm going to go 30-24.
I have the Chiefs winning 28-27. Ed?
I'm going with the Ravens. I'm going with the Ravens. I think they're going to right the ship a bit this week. The Chiefs cannot score. They have a lot of trouble on offense, which has been their hallmark. As bad as the Ravens' defense is, I think it's a perfect match for them then. So I'm going to go with the Ravens in a close game.
And by the way, since I won't be here Monday, are you doing those picks? Because I got the Jets and the Broncos.
So do I, actually.
I think the Jets pull off an upset.
I'll let you get yours.
Is that an upset?
They're 3-point underdogs.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like they win. Like, normally I feel like I'd be on the Dolphins in a spot like this. Mm-hmm. But I can't. I think my guy gets fired after this week.
And we can give our Monday picks on Monday.
Okay.
All right. Kevin Ostreicher joins us at 8:45, but on the other side, Jeremy Conn is the World of Stupid.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about a couple different things here, one of which you've got questions about conjoined twins. And there's a lot of questions of when one of them gets married, what happens sexually. We're going to talk about that today. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be lovely. Also, when we get to, I got to talk about AI. I showed Ed some video, and it's very alarming what's going on with AI and how scary it is. We'll bring that up. We'll get to the conjoined twins and more in the World of Stupid coming up next here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. All right, welcome in. So, Ed, I was going to talk about Charlie Sheen. You brought it up, 47,000 women that he slept with.
Yeah.
You want to go over the math again? But
sure.
In his documentary, he talked about all sorts of things, whether you want to talk about the drug cartel and what cutting him off and coming after him. If you want to talk about him allegedly sleeping with men, maybe a few fell in there. Winning. Doesn't matter. I don't know what it is, but I like it. Yeah, winning. You know, he's doing his thing. The most amazing thing about the documentary, and I can't remember if I brought this up on the air or off the air, was that he and his father played Michael Jordan in it was a three kind of set. It was free throw shooting, horse, and then one on two.
Yeah.
And they beat him. Michael Jordan had to shoot free throws with his eyes closed, but like Charlie Sheen missed the first one and then rattled off like nine in a row.
Yeah.
Then when they played horse, one of the funniest ones is Jordan hits a half-court shot, and here comes Martin Sheen in his little boy shorts, and dink, drops it. Like I'm looking at it going, the Sheen boys are athletes?
Charlie Sheen, he's a good athlete. I think. Yeah, I don't have it in front of me now because I don't know you bring this up, but in high school, he was like 40 and 15 as a pitcher. He got offered a scholarship to Kansas, but got evicted. Expelled from school, and he kind of shot down his whole baseball career.
Yeah, he was pitching in the Penal League, and then the Cleveland Indians picked him up.
That was true. Like, yeah. That was it. It was like Major League.
He became their closer.
But he is a good athlete. But he would have to, for the number he threw out there.
Was he? What? Go ahead.
He's 60 now, so he's lost to Virginia 15. That's 45 years times 365. That's 16,000 and change. Yeah, he'd have to sleep. If they get the 47,000, he'd have to sleep with three women a day. Every day of his life. Every day. And that includes when he's on these benders and all this other stuff.
When Bonnie Blue does her number, I'm just going to believe it. So it's fine. One of the other things that came out of that documentary was the fact that Charlie Sheen's ex-wife used to make sandwiches for the whores he'd bring home. In the morning, they wake up. It's like, well, you guys got to eat. What do you want? Making sandwiches.
Yeah.
Let's talk about AI real quick, because I want to stay with this conjoined twin thing, because, again, we all have questions, whether you want to admit it or not. But, Ed, I showed you the video of this AI, and it shows the guy that's using AI. He's talking, it's a man, and then all of a sudden, once he puts the AI on, he can make the woman as beautiful as he wants. He turned himself into an older man, and it looks real. And I'm sorry, there's a lot of stupid people out there, even if it didn't look real, would still buy into it.
Wouldn't you buy that?
It looks exactly.
It looks
like
real.
It.
I mean, it really looks perfect.
I mean, it's got to be a scary thing for people. Like we talked about that principal in Pikesville. It's like they're using AI. They're using AI. It's like okay, yeah, you're the first guy who gets AI. Yeah, they were.
And again,
using the sound of your voice. I've even heard some really shady stuff of women getting the voice of friends. You know, people that or someone that sounds similar. Calling their boyfriends and ask him about other people that he's been with. Or are you still dating that girl? What girl? You know, like trying to get to the bottom of whether or not they're cheating.
Dude, I dated a girl who used to use an app that she could call if someone's in your phone. Like, say, she could call me and it would show up as your number. That I think it's you calling. I pick up and it was doing that to, you know, test me on women.
Oh, God, that's just...
Yeah.
Brutal. Sometimes there's certain things in life you don't want to know, I think. All right. Married conjoined twins. Tackle questions everyone wants to know. People are obsessed with. What do you think the main question people want to know? What's sex like?
Yeah.
They're joined by the torso and share a pelvis, reproductive system, a liver, and a bloodstream. The sisters do not have the same heart or stomach. It's still that funny meme that goes around about the conjoined twins.
Mm-hmm.
And the one of them's gay and the other one's not.
Ooh.
What do you do? How do you decide that, Ed? You're our sex expert.
All right.
Anyway, the sisters do not have the same heart or stomach. I'll show you pictures of them. Yeah, it's There you go. I mean, it's one of the interesting things we have in life is...
What a way to go through life.
I couldn't imagine it. I could not imagine that whatsoever. I like to poop alone, and clearly you can't. They each have one leg. Carmen controls the right one. Lupita controls the left. They were on... Carmen met Daniel McCormick on a dating app, Hinge, in October of last year. The pair quietly eloped. They couldn't quietly elope. The sister's right there.
Yes. And what if she didn't want to use the leg to go?
Hey, don't tell your sister, but man, is she stuck up. What'd you say? When asked about how they navigate honoring Lupita's boundaries, Carmen says it all comes down to one thing, communication. What do you mean? Communication, she's going to feel it. What are you talking about? I don't know how else to put it, she said in an interview. She's adding that anything Lupita isn't comfortable with, physically or otherwise, we just respect that. Are you telling me if she falls in love with somebody else and then she gets in a relationship? What do you do?
Yeah.
That's got to be just, I'm sorry. And I know some people are like, oh, you're inquiring minds want to know. Like, I'm curious as hell about this stuff.
I not to belabor this grotesqueness, mm-hmm. but when you went through the body parts that they have individually, what about the one with, you know?
They share that.
They have one.
Yes.
Okay. That's
it. Here you go. She says, people are obsessed with sex, you know, and it's just like, frankly, it's none of your bleeping business. I don't understand why people need to know about my private parts in order to humanize us. Lady, you got to understand.
Come on.
I mean, look.
It's a little unusual.
When we were at the World Series of Poker and I looked over and I saw an Asian guy with a yarmulke, I said, you understand, I have to ask a question right now, right? Yes. I have to. And he said he was adopted. So, yes. But again, one of the better poker players in Maryland. Maybe we'll see him at the next World
Series. I'm sure we'll see the same people.
Yep.
Get our asses kicked again.
She said, no kids, never plan on it. I guess if you were in that situation, like childbirth would have to be like unbelievably dangerous to your health, maybe?
I would assume everything. Seriously.
I mean, there's all this stuff going on now, depending on what you want to believe, who you want to believe, where they're talking about Tylenol and causing autism and all the things that go around that. The one thing that I know for certain is it's very hard to tell what medications will harm or, actually hurt the baby or the mom during it, because they won't run tests on it because that's not ethical. Like when my wife and I, we were trying to, my wife has MS and we were trying to have kids for a period of time there. So she had to come off her medication. And things went awry when she was coming off her medication. She developed 3 new lesions on her brain. And we're like, well, why can't we just try to have kids while she's, you know, on her MS medication? They're going, we don't know what would happen. Like, you could be perfectly fine.
Right.
But they're not going to take pregnant women and run tests on them to say, see, does this work? Yeah. So that's why I'm curious with this. Like, what's the effect long term for them? She said she never saw herself being a parent. And here you go. He didn't lead with a question about my condition. Like, that's got to be a... How's that not the first thing you talk about? Hey, what do you like? What do you like? What's her name? what are you asking here?
What if one of them gets sick?
Yeah.
Seriously.
What if one of them's not in the mood?
Allergic to medicine? They have different internal organs.
Yeah, some. They share some. A stomach, right?
But not a heart, right? Their individual hearts?
I think they had their... They have individual... I just closed up the story. You want to find out more? Go to the New York Post. They have all the great stories that you could possibly want. That's your World of Stupid.
Thank you very much. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. My buddy, I'm going to tell you how foul he is. Mm-hmm. He texts me, looking at the pic, I like the one on the left.
Oh, gosh. That's the one that's single.
Foul dude.
That's man. Lupita. You're all right. You got a shot, man.
You're in.
Foul as hell. Kevin Ostracker joins us at 8:45, but on the other side, O's Rays up next on the Fan.
This game hangs on a fly ball to right. It ends right there. Mountcastle skies out. Fairbanks shuts the door in the ninth. They hope Samuel Basayo is okay.
And that's all the story was. Samuel Basayo gets hit on the right wrist, right hand. He's out for the game. And Fairbanks, at the end of the game, closing it out for the Orioles, Pete Fairbanks, blows a kiss in the direction of the Orioles' dugout. He claims he did it at some fans who were chirping.
Mancelino confirmed that, though, right? Said the same thing. Like, that's what his understanding was.
That's what Mancelino's going to say.
Okay.
You know what? Because that's Mancelino with a fire extinguisher in his hand, putting out a fire that he doesn't want to ignite even more here in game number 3.
We'll find out today if they're throwing at each other.
I think we've already found that out.
No, I'm saying today. Oh, you're going to find out. Yeah,
Continue.
Is this thing over, or do people feel like he was lying? The one thing that he did say, he was like, hey, those are all Lego loving guys over there. And apparently, like, he's, you know, the stuff with Gunnar Henderson and Colton Cowser love Legos. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Pete Fairbanks is another one of those guys that just loves Legos. So he was saying, no, I got a lot of respect for him. And he even checked in to make sure Sam Bisaccia was okay. Now, whether people believe that or not. Or
I think he did after the fact. But Sam Bisaccia was hit Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Kramer's last battle was a hit batsman.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Bisaccia hit again Wednesday.
When the game's in hand already?
It might happen early.
Yeah.
It may be hockey style.
I was just going to say that. First batter. I'm serious. I think first batter.
It's Cade Povich.
Are there prop bets on this kind of stuff?
I mean, look, if you're going to find something like that, you'd have to go offshore.
Overseas? Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to find it on a FanDuel or a DK or BetMGM.
I would put money on first batter, and I'd put money on a bench clearing brawl.
Today?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Ed. So let's say you're the manager. You know that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
In your post-game comments, don't you want to make it seem like, oh, no, we got an understanding? That way, if it happens, it doesn't look premeditated. Because if you say, oh, yeah, we don't like one another. It's not, I don't think so. I mean, this has been going on all year long, yada, 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 yada. Mm-hmm. Then now, all of a sudden, the umpire's already, you know, his hair's already up. But if you bring it down, now, if it happens early, hey, it was just a mistake. And I'm not saying that's why he did it,
right?
But I'm saying if he did do it that way, I understand.
The problem is, after this, I don't think anybody's going to believe anything. If somebody gets hit, it's going to be like an ejection.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think it's going to be a warning.
I think the only way is an ejection if there's a pregame warning. If there's a pregame warning, it will be you can't throw anybody out on the first hit batsman. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you first pitch of the game, if you do it.
Yeah. And it's high and tight.
Yeah. Heave them out of there. But other than that, no. I mean, these two teams, they're competitive. Always been very competitive towards one another, man. I mean, I'm.
What is it with closers in the AL East blowing kisses at us? Jeff Hoffman was doing it when he was with the Jays.
Me.
Yeah. Are you still hurt again? Yeah. Yeah, he failed the medicals here, and it's like, how are you doing? And remember, he started off really good, and he's pitching well, and then all of a sudden, whoop, in the crapper. Good for you.
Orioles do some things wrong. You can give them, but physicals is not one. Yeah. They have a history of being pretty accurate on physicals.
I need them to check me.
I'm not saying 100%, but remember Aaron Seeley?
Yeah.
Oh, he failed his physical. Orioles just don't want to sign him.
Well, all the guys that people complain, what about Grant Balfour?
Yep, he's another one.
And then he pitched a year, and it's like, oh, see, he's fine. And then he gets hurt, and it's like, well, he's done.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they were right.
But that's the point when we talk about these long-term deals where everybody's like, well, you got to overpay. You got to give this guy however many years he wants. And then you get 3 years of dead money and what that does to an organization that's not the Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs. We have to see like how they're going to compete financially with them. They're going to be better, but I still don't know they're going to be spending as much money as those cats.
I think they're going to spend some money. I agree with you. It's hard to spend that kind of money, though. They only had three hits last night. Dylan Beavers batted leadoff. Westberg had a hit, drove in two runs late in the game. I think it was the eighth inning. And Tyler O'Neill had a hit. Offense was horrible last night with three hits.
Yeah, they made Boz look good.
Yeah, he pitched three innings, walked three, struck out three.
Well, he's a former, I think, top 10 pick. He was either taken 10th or 11th, I believe, by the Rays. And it's just never come to full fruition where it's like, oh, this guy is the type of pitcher they thought they were getting. He's been fine, but it's not what you expect when you're drafting a guy in a top 10, I don't think.
Jose Castillo, you know, no. Mm-mm. Jose Castillo, he came in after ends last night.
Okay. That's what we're talking about. A lot of these guys, they're going to spend a ton of money on the bullpen next year.
Yeah. Cano didn't look bad. Any of the third, giving up no runs and no hits. He did strike out one, but I don't know if I'm over that one yet. I like ends. He gave up a run last night, but he pitched two innings, struck out three. A run on two hits. I really like him, though.
Do you think Inns gets outs?
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
Yeah. So when he sees his brother and they shake hands, is that when Inns meets?
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think of another one to come over the top, but I can't.
Oh, man. So, I mean, are you, and are you, I don't want to say happy, are you satisfied with the way they played the schedule out, the Orioles?
Yes. Yeah. I am. I mean,
it wasn't Cancun on three.
No, it wasn't. They played well at the end of the year. Yeah, I'm pretty impressed by it. And it cannot possibly be easy to do this.
Going to work every day knowing.
Yeah, you're going nowhere. It's like, it's futile. No matter what you do, you're not going to the postseason. You're going to end up under 500. It just sucks. And I heard, it was Bordy talking about it yesterday in the pregame show. Just saying, he goes, yeah, it sucks. You know, coming in that it's really hard. So, yeah, I could see that for sure.
Yeah, I heard Tony Mancelino say this, Jeremy. When your best player comes to work and plays hard every day, it raises everybody else's level. And he was giving a compliment to Gunnar Henderson. Mm-hmm. And Gunnar comes to work and plays his butt off every day. Gunnar came to the dugout one day last week, and his uniform was filthy. It looked like pig pen. And I looked at him and laughed and said, I'm glad I don't have to wash that uniform. Because that's how he plays every day.
Mm-hmm.
And when your best player can still play when you're out of it, then everybody else has to play that way as too.
The only thing with me that I would say is I was hoping that at some point this season that the offense would come around a little bit more. We've still seen that struggle there. But again, it's hard to talk about how they finished under Mancelino with the way that everything went awry. If they don't start off as terribly as they are, right, you know, who knows what happens. But once you've dug that hole, there's a lot of pressing that goes on. There were still more injuries. But the big thing this year is Trevor Rogers had just been an unbelievably pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. And if you get any form of this next year, you're in a great position. That's a true number one now, and we all think Bradish can be one.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on this Thursday. Ed, what day is it?
Friday Eve, babe.
We got a lot for you. We got Alex Gold. He's going to come on the show. He's from 96.5, The Fan in Kansas City. He comes on at 9:15 to talk about those Chiefs. But on the other side, Kevin Ostreicher talks Ravens up next. On
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan 8:47 in the AM joining us right now from Locked On Podcast. He is Kevin Ostreicher. Good morning to you, Kevin.
Good morning. Yeah, this is tough game for the Ravens on Monday night. They got to bounce back because 1-3 is not the place you want to be moving forward here.
No, it is not. And Kevin, why should we believe the Ravens can bounce back with the way the injury list looks already? The injury report.
It's not a great start to the week in that regard. And look, the Chiefs offense hasn't been great, but even though that's the case, you know, they still have Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, et cetera. And that's an offense you don't want to mess around with. You don't want to be the team also that the Chiefs get going against either. So, I mean, at this point, you have to kind of look, in my opinion, in the secondary. You'd think, you know, hopefully you get J.R. Alexander back this week. That would be a big boost for them. You know, Marlon Humphrey, who had a tough go of it against Detroit. You're hoping he can bounce back as well. Kyle Hamilton and Nate Wiggins played really well in that Monday night game. So I think you look at that. But on the D-line, I mean, the Chiefs' run game has not been great to start the season. Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, they're looking to get that going. So if you look at the guys who are injured right now, Matabike Jones, Washington, if those guys all aren't able to go, and I know Harbaugh was a lot more optimistic on Washington and Jones as opposed to Madubuike, John Jenkins was really good for them in week number three. You know, Aeneas Peebles are showing flashes, but it's just been a lot of disappointment on that defense because we looked at the roster, we saw how good that it was, how stacked that it was, and you know, they're last, they're bottom five in a lot of categories right now.
They're dead last, actually. Last in yards against. And that's my question. The injuries did not occur week one. I mean, granted, some people were out, but not like now. It's been horrific the first three games of the year. So, I mean, it's basically the same people, though. I mean, can you attribute this to anything in particular? Because this looks nothing like any Ravens defense I can remember in the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's rough, and especially when you look at what happened in the game on Monday. Like, Detroit just came in there, especially in that second half, and just out-physicaled them. You know, guys are getting moved off of their spots, and you just kind of felt Detroit kind of just take the life out of the stadium, and that's something that is, like, you don't really see that with the Ravens, and especially it wasn't the expectation to start the season. So attributing it, I'd definitely say I'm not one to necessarily blame everything on one person or one thing. I think it's a combination of everything. So, you know, you look at the execution and some of what's been going on the field with the players, and, you know, you look at the stats. I mean, you know, Zach Gore isn't going out there missing 20 tackles. I know that was a big stat that people were talking about, but at the same time, I mean, we see some of these play calls where it's like Mike Green dropping back into coverage on a big third down in a big spot, or David Ajabo dropping back, and you kind of look at the blitz rate for the Ravens right now. It's 30th in the league, and they're not getting pressure right now when they are not blitzing. I would hope that the Ravens get a little bit more aggressive when it comes to that, because you're right. Like, even with Nnamdi Madubuike out there in the first 2 weeks of the season, the pass rush wasn't great in the first place. So, you know, you add in the fact that he's not going to play in this game, and obviously we're not really sure what his status is going to be moving forward. There's a lot that they have to do to improve, because even when you look at the conversion rates, I mean, red zone conversion rate, they're almost last in the league there. Third down conversion rate, almost last in the league there. There's so many different things. So I think, to me, just not getting too cute with things from a play calling perspective from Zach Orr, and obviously execution wise, you got to do your job out there consistently. And I think right now guys aren't doing it enough.
Hey, Kevin, as you look at the Chiefs, what concerns you about them? As you pointed out, their offense has been a little lackluster, not very explosive. It seems like they're getting a little healthier now, especially at the wide receiver spot. So maybe we see them a little bit more in the explosive part of it. But Kelce looks slower, a lot of older wide receivers. What scares you about Kansas City?
I just think it's their experience and the fact that they've been there and done that. We know that, again, for as bad as their offense has been, I mean, if you're not getting pressure on Patrick Mahomes, he's going to sit back in that pocket and just absolutely tear you apart. I know it's a big thing with the Chiefs right now. The run game, yeah, it has not been good. They're looking to figure that out. So I don't know. The offensive line right now, I think, is a big contention point in Kansas City at some positions there. Juwan Taylor hasn't been great for them, and obviously him and his penalties will probably pop up. It certainly has over the first 3 weeks. But you look at the conversion rates for them on defense, they're really good where the Ravens are not. You know, third down conversion, red zone, I was talking about that earlier. The Ravens on defense, they're in the bottom of those categories. The Chiefs are towards the top in a lot of those. So a big thing for me is when you look at these offenses, and again, like, Kansas City's been there, done that with the offense. Mahomes, Kelce, Worthy, you know, you mentioned the health. Worthy practiced fully, so he'll probably be out there. A way to stop an offense, or at least prevent them from having the just the almost way of getting out there and scoring points, is just stopping them from getting the ball in their hands, you know, forcing them to go three and out, forcing a big turnover. So I think, to me, the Chiefs being the team that they have been, this is not, you know, the Chiefs of 5 years ago with prime Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and all that. But, you know, with Mahomes and Kelce and Reed, and even like Spagnuolo's had their number, you know, the Ravens 2021 was their big game with OA punching the ball out, but it's been a struggle for them to beat the Chiefs. So going to Arrowhead's a tough place to play. And, you know, I know no one really drew it up as both teams being 1-2 and the loser drops to 1-3, but you know, that's where we are right now.
Kevin Ostreicher joins us from Locked On Podcast. Kevin, before we let you go, you had former Raven offensive lineman Matt Skerr on the show recently. What is he saying about this Ravens offensive line after looking at tape?
Yeah, Matt was really insightful in a lot of things, and I think what his big message was is that a lot of it right now seems to him to be the continuity. And got obviously that group for the most part played together last season. Obviously McCary's no longer there, but you know, the four of Rosengarten, Falele, Linderbaum, and Stanley are out there. But he talked about the preseason a lot, which is pretty interesting because he mentioned that, you know, Ronnie and Linderbaum, they did not play in the preseason. And so he mentioned from his experience, like, he personally needed the preseason to, like, get into game shape, even go through, like, the routine of getting to the stadium, going through, like, a typical game day. And so it's different from when, you know, he was starting out in the league with the four preseason games. Now it's three preseason games. So he just kind of talked about how he thinks that there is a light at the end of the tunnel for that group. He thinks that it's just a matter of them getting into a groove, and essentially they are using, you know, because they didn't play in the preseason, some of these veteran guys and being on the field together, using some of this time now to kind of get acclimated with one another, because it is a new season. You're kind of working through a couple of new things and starting off with some tough players on that D-line, like Miles Garrett and Ed Oliver. And obviously, you got Chris Jones coming this week, so it's not going to get any easier, but I was intrigued to kind of hear Matt's perspective on that, because I know the preseason has been a big topic of conversation when it comes to the Ravens. Should they play guys? Should they not? So I don't know what their plan is going to be on that moving forward, but he does think that it's fixable, but they just need to get continuity for this season, and hopefully that will help fix things.
Kevin, tell us all about Locked On Podcast.
Yeah, Locked On Ravens. We got it 5 days a week plus more. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. So on YouTube, it's in video form. You can like and subscribe over there. Anywhere you get your podcast in audio form, we're over there as well. So obviously just diving into how the Ravens can right the ship here, get back on track against the Chiefs, because they definitely need it.
Thanks a lot, my friend.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah, thanks so much.
All right, buddy. 410-583-1057 is the number. Alex Gold from 96.5, the Fan in Kansas City, joins us at 9:15. But on the other side, with how many injuries the team is dealing with and the lackluster play from some guys, is it too early to start looking towards the trade deadline if you're Eric DaCosta? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.